Okay, let's turn to Proverbs. We got a well. Let's see a Bible this morning. I didn't do this today. Word. Let's see your pens, bulletins. Okay, turn to it was weak, but turn to Proverbs 1. We're gonna do something different today, kind of different, but I promise you, you're gonna love this. This is one of my favorite things to do. Even though I've only done it probably once. I do it all the time. I love it so much. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for you are so good. And you are so good all the time. And we just pray we can enjoy your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would revolutionize all of our ideas about what the Bible is and how relevant it is to us, and especially this book of Proverbs, that you would cause people to fall in love with it today, that they would read it every day for the rest of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. There's 31 days in the longest month. So whatever day it is, today's the 8th of July, it'd be a good habit to read that chapter that day. And we're going to see in a minute the purpose of Proverbs is to give us wisdom. We all need wisdom. But let me back up. We just finished studying the book of Psalms, Songs to Stringed Instruments, most of them written by King David, the same David who killed Goliath. And 3 weeks ago, we did a study on Psalm 51, which is about when David confessed of committing adultery and murder. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Remember, he was on his roof, and he saw her taking a bath, and he says, I want her, and they brought her over. He had sex with her. She got pregnant. If you don't know the story, it's in the Bible. He was on his roof, and he saw the woman taking a bath. He sent his soldiers over to get her, and they brought her over to his house. He expresses endearment to her. She gets pregnant. He sends for her husband, tries to get her husband drunk, so he sleeps with her, so he thinks it's his baby. Her husband does not sleep with her because he's an honorable man, because he just came from war and his soldiers were still in war. So David sends her husband out to war and has him killed. Then David takes Bathsheba to himself as his wife. This is all in the Bible. Their baby that they had died. God judged him, punished him, and the baby died. The next son they had was Solomon, King Solomon. When King Solomon became king, God said to King Solomon, King Solomon, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. One wish, one prayer. What would you say if God asked you that? Give you anything. I want money. There's a woman walking on the beach, and I told the men in the men's meeting this joke, and she saw a bottle. She rubbed the bottle, and genie came out. I don't know how many times you see a bottle and you rub it, but she did. And Genie came out. Genie says, I'll give you any three wishes you want. She says, any three wishes? Whatever I give you, I'm going to give your husband 10 times. Okay? She says, okay, I want to be beautiful. Okay, I'm going to make you beautiful, but your husband's going to be fine. Okay? Whoosh, she's beautiful. Got the figure she wants, the hair she wants, the lips, and whatever it is she wants, she got it. Yet God makes her husband even 10 times better looking. He goes, my next wish, I want to be rich. Okay, I'm going to make you rich, but I'm going to give your husband 10 times the money you get. So boom, makes her rich. That's the second wish. Genie says, okay, you got one more wish. Whatever I give you, I'm going to give your husband 10 times. She says, I'm rich, I'm beautiful. Give me a mild heart attack. God said to Solomon, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon says, I want wisdom. Ha ha. I want wisdom. Solomon had enough wisdom to ask for wisdom. Some of y'all said, I want a nice car. It's going to get old. I want money. Someone take your money. Give me wisdom. With wisdom, I can get that car. With wisdom, I can get money. With wisdom, I can get whatever I want. So God says, you know what? Very good choice, Solomon. Not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you power over your enemies. So Solomon, the Bible says that Solomon, in chapter 10 of 1 Kings, don't look this up, I'll just read it to you. It says, King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. So Solomon had wisdom, money. The Bible says Solomon had 700 wives and 300 mistresses. The brother was a true player. The Bible says Solomon's wisdom, he wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,500 songs. The Bible tells us that Solomon was an Animal Planet, Discovery Channel, National Geographic fanatic. Why? The Bible says, it doesn't say National Geographic, but the Bible says he spoke of trees, he spoke of animals, birds, creeping things, and fish. He knew all that. He even knew about bugs. I was watching Animal Planet yesterday, and the queen termite. You're just jealous because you don't notice. The queen termite gains when she gets pregnant. Well, she's always pregnant. She's queen. She just has babies. Her weight increases 50 times. 50. Now, it'd be the equivalent of a human becoming the size of your house. You ever hear someone say you're big as his house? That's exactly what she is. 50 times. Now, that's not the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing about the queen termite is that the queen termite lays 30,000 eggs a day. You didn't know that. Solomon knew that. Solomon knew about birds. He knew about creeping things. He knew about fish. He knew about animals. Matter of fact, did you see in the news? This is not a Solomon Wisdom Discovery Channel thing, just a little tangent. I don't even know how this happened, but did you hear about the guy, the kid who got his arm cut off, chopped off by the shark? And the man wrestled the shark to the shore and got the arm out. Did you hear that? I'm like, come on, tell me the whole story in that one. The news said the uncle wrestled the shark to shore to get the kid's arm. And they put the arm back on the kid. I mean, I want to hear the whole story of that one. And the shark is on the shore going, oh, oh, oh. I mean, that guy was a tough dude. Oh, oh. I ain't going swimming with that dude. So Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. 900 of them are in this book. And we're going to read some of them. Now, turn to chapter 1, verse 1, because this is going to tell you why we have Proverbs. The Bible is so good at explaining itself. If you have a question about the Bible, the best place to look is in the Bible. Look what it says in verse 1, chapter 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Who wrote Proverbs? Solomon. It says it right there. Now, there's some who wrote by other people, but basically he wrote them. The Proverbs of Solomon, King David, son of King David, king of Israel, so there's no question who his dad is. There's no question that he was king of Israel. The Bible says in verse 2, here's why we have them. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. The other reason we have them, verse 3, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. Who in here is simple? Raise your hand. Everybody say, I'm simple. You never want to go about talking about how smart you are. Don't do it. Just don't. You'll see in a minute why. You're simple. I don't know anything, Wilbur. I just don't know anything. Okay? God, you tell me. It says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The other reason, verse 6, the other reason he wrote it, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The reason that Proverbs is in the Bible is to give you wisdom. Duh. I don't know the answer. Read Proverbs. I don't know what to do. Read Proverbs. I don't know where to go. Read Proverbs. It's in the book. People always ask questions, and it's in the book. Matter of fact, my son asked me. He asked me. We get Discover Magazine, and it said if you put your hand on, it had a handprint on the cover. If you put your hand on the handprint, I don't know how many millions or billions of neutrinos will go through your hand. So he said, Dad, what's a neutrino? I was like, read the magazine, find it out, and tell me. Oh, man. It's like a kid's nightmare ever is to learn something, right? So he's on reading the magazine like he ain't going to learn it. So make a long story short, he reads this. Neutrino, any of the massless or nearly massless electrically neutral leptons. There is a distinct kind of neutrino associated with each of the massive leptons. Miles, what's a lepton? Oh, no. Well, go look it up. Oh, man. Lepton. Any of a class of particles with spin of half that are not subject to the strong force and that are believed to be truly elementary and not composed of quarks or other subunits. The lepton known or believed to exist are the electron and electron neutrino, or mound or mu neutrino, and the tau lepton and tau neutrino. Now, wisdom says that unless your IQ is 973, you don't even read that stuff. That's what wisdom says. Wisdom is the, write this definition down, wisdom is not information, it is the correct use of information. Wisdom is the correct use of information. Very important. You've heard it said that to a carpenter, every solution to every problem is a hammer. To a surgeon, every solution to every problem is surgery. Because that's what they know. It doesn't, just because you have wisdom doesn't mean, or just because you have experience doesn't mean you have knowledge doesn't mean you know the answer. Wisdom is the correct use of the knowledge you have. Now, look at, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, get wisdom, search for her as gold. Search for her as gold. And I'm going to lead you through some. Look at Proverbs 1:7. Look at the first verse, is where do you get it? I would assume you all want wisdom. You all want to know how to use knowledge. You all want to have discretion, understanding, judgment. The Bible says in verse 7, chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom. You want to have wisdom? The first and last thing you need to do is fear God. Why? Because God has wisdom. Man's wisdom changes. Man's wisdom is always, hopefully, increasing. But man's wisdom is incomplete. They just, and they had this on TV several times in the last couple of days, about the danger of a woman who has had a cesarean to have a vaginal birth. They call it a VBAC. If you've had a cesarean birth, And after that, many women want to have a vaginal birth, and they say it's very dangerous. This is a new thing that they're discovering. And this doctor, this OBGYN, right? Yeah. Hey, any fellas got an OBGYN? Yeah, I don't got one either. I don't know. This OBGYN was saying that she had to rethink what she had learned. She had experience and wisdom and training and knowledge, come to find out that it was not completely correct. God's wisdom is always completely correct. That's why you never want to get to a point where you think you have wisdom, even in your business, even in your field of expertise. Never, ever think you know it. Always go to God. God, what do you say? Because if I respect God, if I'm going to hear from God, I got to respect that God knows better than me, even in my field of expertise. I don't care what you do. You've been singing for 40 years. You've been cutting hair for 40 years. You've been doing business for 40 years. You've been flipping hamburgers for 40 years. Don't think you know. There's always, God has more wisdom than you. So the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Turn to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. The Bible says, Proverbs 8, 1. It says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice. Notice that wisdom is a she. Hey, girls, because y'all are so wise. And we so stupid. She takes her stand on the top of the hill beside the way where the paths meet. She, wisdom, cries out at the gates, at the entry city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O stupid men, my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools will be of understanding heart. Listen, I will speak of excellent things. That means that wisdom is readily available to you and me. Don't say I didn't know. Especially with the internet. I mean, there's information everywhere. But even forget books, forget the internet, not that you don't ever use it. God is right there whispering to you. Don't do that. Do this. Change the mind. No. Yes. That way. Right. Left. He's there. So you need to understand that God is right there. Matter of fact, last week I talked about when you think that you talk to yourself is when you're thinking you're talking to yourself. And that it's kind of futile to think as much as we do to ourselves, because a lot of times when we're thinking, we're asking ourselves questions, and we're asking ourselves questions that we don't have the answer for. That's why we're asking them. When you're lost, okay? Miles is lost. I really don't get lost a lot, but this is just hypothetical. I'm driving and I'm lost. Well, Miles is lost. So what does Miles do? Miles asks Miles how to be unlost. Right? That's what you do. How do I get out of here? Well, if you knew, you wouldn't be lost. So why are you asking yourself? That's dumb. Okay? Now, so instead of asking yourself, ask God. The title of my message, if you write this down, what does wisdom say? Because whenever you're in a situation, when you wake up in the morning, all day, when you go to bed at night, whenever you have a question, you should ask God, what does wisdom say? Wisdom cries out in the street, what is wisdom telling me now? Not what do I think? You know that what would Jesus do bracelet, what would Jesus do? Biblically, that does not mean what do you as a Christian think. You don't want to make that mistake. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to say, I'm a Christian, so let me go figure it out on my own. Remember what the devil told Adam and Eve? You can know good and evil on your own. That's a sin. The devil told Adam and Eve, you can figure it out on your own. You could decide right and wrong on your own. No, the Bible and God has already decided for you. Your job is to hear from him. If you were at the crusade, my topic was about sin. And what I said in the very beginning, that what I'm going to share are not the views of Coors Amphitheater. They're not the views of even me. Even though I believe them, they are the views of God. Because we're going to share from God's word. So you don't want to be figuring stuff out. You always want to say, Holy Spirit, what does God's wisdom say? That's what you should ask yourself. Okay? Always be asking yourself. Let me turn to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. We're going to jump through here. We've got 25 minutes. We're going to look at a bunch of Proverbs on different topics. The difference between a fool and a wise person. The Bible says in 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase learning. You know how you can tell if someone's wise? Are they listening to instruction? I don't want to hear that, man. I don't want to hear it. They stupid. I don't want to read. You stupid. I don't want to learn. No, I know. Don't tell me. Okay, you're stupid then. You don't want to learn. Bible says if you teach a wise man, he will become wiser. So do you want to be wise? Learn. Say you don't know. Say, talk to me. Explain it to me. That proves not ignorance. That proves wisdom. The devil tries to flip it around. Oh, you don't want to act like you don't know. You're going to think you're stupid. No, you're smart by acknowledging you want to know. But the devil flips it around. God's wisdom, which is opposite of the devil's, opposite of God. He says, listen, give instructions to a wise man. He becomes wiser. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. You will practice this today. Actually, as homework, pick one of these out and rewrite them in your own words. and practice it today, you will practice today. Proverbs 26, verse 4, it says, 4 and 5, these two verses seem to contradict themselves. One says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. You ever be talking to someone and they just talking nonsense, and then you start arguing with them and find yourself talking the same nonsense they're talking? And you go, man, why am I wasting my time with you? Anybody? Okay. And you're like, you just became as foolish as them. The only problem is they don't know they're foolish, but you just figured out you are. Okay, because they're talking their normal yin-yang, and they drag you into this foolish conversation. The Bible says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. But then the next verse says the opposite. Look what it says. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. In other words, sometimes people are saying nonsense, and you just need to correct them. Now, which one do you listen to? The fear of the Lord will tell you. Wisdom. God, do I walk away from this fool, or do I tell him off? What you want me to do? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to correct them one time, then walk. Okay. You know what? That whole opinion of what you just said is wrong. But, bye. That's it. All right. Look at this. This is real funny. Proverbs 26:11. It says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. I used to have a dog when I was a kid. Matter of fact, I have a dog now. But when I was a kid, I used to have a dog. We used to take, and where I grew up, it would get real cold, like 10, 20 below zero. And the ground was just frozen. And so, this is nasty, but it's in the Bible. Dog would puke, and you know, steam would be coming up because it was cold out. The dog, wanting a warm meal, would go back and eat the puke. Anybody ever see that happen? Okay, is that happening out here in California? Okay. So the dog would go, blah, Earl, Ralph, or whatever you call it, then walk away and go back, get a little snack. As nasty as that is, the Bible now says that just as a dog eats his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. So what do you do that's foolish? We all do stuff that's foolish. I mean, we're all foolish, okay? But when you do it over and over again, I want you to think, I'm just like that dog. I'm eating puke right now. Skip that one. Having friends. Proverbs 18:24. We'll look at this one. Wisdom tells us that, 18:24, wisdom tells us that a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Duh. Right? Duh. But no. There's a young lady whose friend, every time I see her, she has an attitude with me. She's like this. Every time I see it, how you doing? I was like, then we start doing this. So I would see her over and over. She just always fronts me. And you know, when you have friends, people you're friendly with, and their friends don't like you. So when you go up and try to, you know, hey, what's up? They're standing there like, hey, what's up? Hey, and you hug these people, but you know, and they're like, you know, like that. So one day I went up to her and said, did I do something to you? And she's like, what? What? I mean, yeah, what? I was like, well, you're always going. She says, no, I have nothing against you. No, I was like, whatever, you know, what? Right. So I talked to my friend about it, and she said, oh, yeah, she told me you said it to her. She can't understand why you said that. And a lot of times we don't understand why people don't get along with us, don't like us. In other words, we're bigger jerks than we think. Amen? Someone once asked me, do you know how people perceive you? That's a very insightful question. Think about that. How do people perceive you? Are you as friendly to them as you think you are? Are you as kind to them as you think you are? Are you as humble to them as you think you are? And are you as funny as you think you are? I mean, no one ever laughs when you talk, so I mean, isn't that a clue? But it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Turn to Proverbs 10:19. This is about talking. Ooh, this area of the tongue is something I'm very sensitive to. Just because I talk all the time. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Now, in general, women talk more than men. That's not a criticism. It's not a criticism. I just have to laugh because I know y'all are waiting for me to say something funny. It's not a criticism. It's just a fact that in general, women talk more than men. And I don't know how the actual word breakdown, but there is actual number of words average. In my household, it's the opposite. I talk way more than my wife. So that's, it's not a criticism. I have a feminine side. And but look what the Bible says. In the multitude of words, sin, the more you talk, the higher chance you have to sin. That's what it says. Is that true? Yes. Why? Because the tongue cannot be tamed. The Bible says that in James. Matter of fact, James, the book of James, is the New Testament companion to Proverbs. The book of James is like a New Testament Proverbs. And in James, it says that men can train animals, can turn a big ship with a little small rudder, but we can't tame the tongue. This thing is wild. It's out of control. Okay? The more you use it, the more chance. Look what it says in verse chapter 17, verse 28. Unbelievable verse. All these verses are just unbelievable. Wisdom tells us in chapter 17, verse 28. Wisdom tells us that a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace, and when he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Listen to that. If you're a fool and you run your mouth, you know how you can appear to be wise? Don't say anything. Just sit there. Learn to do this. Try that. And learn, you can laugh also, too. There's a wise way of laughing. Try that. Got to turn your head. You got to have a little rotation to it. Like the neutrino, the half spin. We had a meeting about a month ago with the building, and the building is still progressing. It's just a wait thing. And I had an accountant with big-time experience from the church. He's on our board. He's the bomb. 6'4", 6'5", gray hair. Brother got knowledge and wisdom. Had my architect and my builder. Had plans, traffic studies, bank letters, all kind of stuff. So my deal is I talk for 10 minutes. We had a two-hour meeting. I give it, and then there's me. What do I know? I got the idea. So I come in and go, okay, here's what we want to do, blah, 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 for like 10 minutes. And then I sit back and let them talk. Builder starts talking about the design, the structure. Oh, architect starts talking about the architect. I'm like, get him sicker, sicker, sicker. And then the accountant starts talking with his hands. He's blah, 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 blah. And I have no idea what he's talking about. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm back there, even a fool. You know where I'm going with this, right? Even a fool is counted wise. I'm sitting back on, yes, I agree. Yes, very good. So much fun. That's right. That's right. See, yeah, very good. Tell her about the. Tell her about the. There is no hubba bubba. You know, next thing they say is like, I told them to say it. Tell them about it. Oh, remind her about the. So at the end of the meeting, she says, it was a man or woman, this company says, you have an incredible set of counselors. Thank you. You want to appear wise? Say nothing. What do you think about President Bush's policy on foreign aid? Well, what do you think? Let them talk. Oh, I agree. I believe that's very true. Oh, he's so smart. So smart. Turn to Proverbs 12, 4. Matter of fact, my time is running out, so let's just do one of these wife things. Turn to Proverbs 21:19. Sorry, 21:19. I love doing this stuff. Proverbs is the bomb. Isn't this stuff good? I mean, you guys didn't read this every day and just memorize this stuff. The dog returned to the vomit. That's so easy. You got a visual. You can remember that. Okay, right? It's a visual. It's a visual. We have a visual. Verse 21, verse 19. Look what it says. Talking about a wife. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Woo, fellas. This is why it is muy importante. Muy importante. How was my Spanish at the crusade? How was my Spanish? Hey. Those are the only Spanish words I know. Okay. It is muy importante to do a background check. Because if you have any sign of... Just think of Alpine, Yuma. That's where you're going to be living, okay? She'll take the house, the cars, the fridge, and you'll be in the woods, okay? It's in the Bible. I'm just talking about what's in the Bible. I'm trying to bash. I'm just talking about what's in the Bible. Turn to Proverbs 23, verse 4. Contentious. Matter of fact, you turn to that, and I'll read the other woman verse, because I have a lot of verses, but I'm running out of time. The other woman verse, ladies, and you'll appreciate this. You'll probably wonder why I didn't say it the first time, but it says, an excellent wife is so hard to... No. An excellent wife... I'm sorry, man. Lighten up. It's a joke. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But, there's a comma. She who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. So, one is like a crown and the other one's like gangrene, okay? So, pick which one you want. Okay, Proverbs 23, verse 4. This is about money. It says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Now, it doesn't say don't try to be rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Solomon was the richest man ever. David was rich. Abraham was rich. A lot of God's people were rich. Some of them poor. That's not the point. The point is don't overwork. It doesn't say don't even work. Don't overwork to be rich. You sacrifice other parts of your life. That's all it says. It says, and let me just read this to you because I'm going to jump on another topic. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Give, tithe, give offerings, whatever. Let God bless you. Don't hold on. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:24, there is one who scatters his riches, yet increases more, and there's one who withholds more than is right. He withholds more than, there is some that you should withhold, but there's one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. So, again, wisdom tells us that. Turn to Proverbs 15:1. Conflict resolution. Conflict resolution. And if you really want to have fun with Proverbs, get a little notebook, and as you read them, just categorize them and rewrite them in different categories in a little notebook. And you have a whole page of conflict resolution, a whole page on women, a whole page on dating, a whole page on the seductress, it talks about the seductress, a whole page on being lazy. All these Proverbs, it'll change your life. Proverbs 15:1. I love Richard Pryor, and I know Richard Pryor is a, he's kind of got a foul mouth, but when I was growing up, he was a, he's a funny brother. And a long time ago, he was telling this joke about when he used to go to a Chinese restaurant. And he'd go to a Chinese restaurant, he'd order, a Chinese guy would come, the waiter would come there and say, what do you want? And they talk, and he's giving this particular instance. It's not a generalization of all Chinese restaurants. But the guy would come there and start, talking all loud and aggressive, and he would order the food, and then the food would come, and he says, you would order the food, but as soon as you want to jam the waiter up, he gets all smooth on you. First he's coming there, you order this, order that, order this, order that, and then as soon as you say, wait a minute, you didn't give me the right order, he goes, no, you order three fried rice, you order Kung Pao chicken, they get all soft and smooth on you. Look what the Bible says here. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You gave me the wrong food. No, you order fried rice. You know what's funny? I went to a Chinese restaurant here. This is only in California. I go to a Chinese restaurant, and there's a Mexican dude serving me the food. For a minute, I was like, wait. I'm trying to look at this. Okay, Chinese words. I got Chinese chopsticks. Julio, what you doing here? only in California. You go to a pizza place, and his brother's making pizza. I don't get it. But anyway. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. If you ever get in an argument with somebody, do this today. You did it. Okay, you're right. Oh, but you did it. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. If someone gets mad at you, stay calm. Okay? Sorry. I'm still going to get you. My kids, when they, for whatever reason they're upset, for whatever reason they're mad, and they come to me, I say, look at me. And they won't look at me because I make them laugh. No, Dad, we're not going to look at you. No, you always make us laugh. Look at me. And they go. And they start laughing. They don't want it. They rather cry than laugh. It says a soft answer. Look at Proverbs 27:6. Oh, this I can go on forever. This stuff is the bomb. You guys don't know anything. You don't know. It says Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So many people think, well, let me kiss up to somebody and I'll be their friend. They're not going to respect you. You ever go to, and ladies, this is for you. Or this could be for guys too, but this is especially for ladies. You ever go to the store with your friend and she's going to buy a dress? She tries a dress on. It just don't look good on her. It don't. It's all bunched up. It's all, it's just not right. It ain't flowing, okay? And she's like, oh, I'm going to wear this. Oh. And you're like, oh, my gosh. That is not working. Now you have a decision to make. This is a career decision. You can either be honest, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Girlfriend, you need to take that off. You need to take it off. But what you mean? I mean, it don't look good. Or you can be an enemy and say, oh, you look so fine. And tell a lie. Look at Proverbs 28:23. I love this stuff.
Proverbs 28:23, it says, 28:23, it says, he who rebukes a man, corrects a man, jams a man up, will find more favor after, more respect after, than he who flatters with the tongue. You can kiss up to somebody and think you're making a friend, or you can be honest with them and be respected. Bottom line. Bottom line. I was counseling a celebrity recently, and I perceived that he was lying to me. So I said to him, let me ask you a question. Are you a liar? Not did you lie. Let's just get to the bottom. Are you a liar? Do you lie all the time? And he went, well, you know, yeah. I fell out laughing. I literally jumped on that. We were in this hotel room. I jumped on the bed. And I said, look, man, you can't lie. We're going to do this. I don't have time. We got to be honest. Okay. Now, I could have been like, you know, I don't want. No. Do it in love. Do it respectful. But do be honest. So the Bible says, you rebuke somebody, tell some of y'all got people you need to jam up. Just tell them the truth. Don't beat around the bush. Don't worry about hurting their feelings. God will deal with that. Remember, faithful are the wounds. Wounds hurt. But if it's truth and it's their self-inflicted wound, you just tell them it's there. Hey, you got to do what God tells you to do. Two more. Proverbs 22:13. And we'll be out of here. 22:13, it says, a lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. I tell my kids, go take out the garbage. Dad, there's a lion outside. San Diego, fool. I heard it. You didn't see the paw prints in the concrete? There's a lion outside. How many of y'all make excuses? Did you do your job today at work? Well, Mr. Boss, you know, what happened was there was a rolling blackout. And right as I was going to print the 900 copies that you needed for the case of the triple murder, the blackout hit our building. And by the time it was over, I left. I had to go home. It was 5 o'clock. You're just lazy. You're just lazy. I was watching 2020, 48 hours, something the other day. ABC, Peanuts. I can't remember what show it was. A woman needed a kidney. She goes, her husband volunteers to donate his kidney. They go into the operating room together, take out her kidney, take out his, and put hers in him. It's really sad. The doctor for the husband leaves the operating room and goes home before the end of the surgery. He dies. They come into her and say, how's my husband? First thing out of her mouth, he's not with us anymore. He dies. He left interns to finish the surgery. He started having internal bleeding. They didn't know it was gone. And by the time they beat him and paged him, he was dead to come back to the hospital. What? I don't care. Now, if you're a doctor and all that stuff and you have interns, I don't care what the policies are. That's wrong. I mean, at least be there and coach them. Because if something happens, like it did, couldn't handle it, the guy died. So you could talk about trying to save time, save money. No. Boom. The Bible says there's a lion outside. And for you out there, whenever you find yourself giving yourself excuses for not doing what you're supposed to do, you're lazy, the Bible says. Be honest with yourself. And it's so brutally honest, hard for us to be honest with ourselves about all these things. You keep getting into trouble. You always have a different excuse. No, you're just like a dog returning to his vomit. That's it. That's what you are. And if you... my verse. There's a verse in here. Oh, man, I didn't tell it to you. It says... forget it. But anyway, here's my homework for you. And I probably have 20 of them I didn't read in here, is to pick a proverb all the time, and you could do it for this week, and just rewrite it in your own words and practice it. And read Proverbs regularly to get wisdom, because some of y'all are going to be in situations today where you're going to be talking to a fool, and you're going to say, you know what? I can either answer this person and get caught up in some useless argument, or I could just walk away. I'm not going to answer this fool according to his folly, lest I be like him. Goodbye. I could vent my feelings, or I could keep my mouth shut. I could be counted wise if I don't say anything. Because some people, you know, when they start talking, the more they talk, the more dumb you know, realize they are. Just don't say anything. Just, So anyway, read Proverbs, fall in love with Proverbs. We're going to pray and see you here next week. We have the band, and let's bow our heads and pray and sing and do whatever we do. Lord, we thank you. We have the band to come on up. We thank you so much for your faithfulness and your love. We thank you for your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would prompt, encourage this church to read Proverbs, to learn wisdom, to understand wise sayings. Give them your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate your prayers. I'm going to Africa this week, and so appreciate you pray about that. We're going to have a good time there.